Happy New Year, everybody. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. You know, it's the first show of the brand new year of 2011, and I have to tell you that I am so excited to be here with you today. What's interesting is I woke up this morning, and a message came forward that I actually typed up. So if anybody wants a copy of it, they can certainly email me for that. And I'm about to my connection just failed as far as my email is concerned. So I'm going to log in right now to my email. So if you would like to email me, you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom.com. So you can email me for questions tonight, or you can email me for a copy of what I'm about to read to you. One of the things that's important to understand about the Akashic Records and the show is that, for those people who have never listened to the show before, I open up the Akashic Records and I take your questions, and you can call in your questions. And the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. And so lots of information is on my information page here at bbsradio.com in Station 2. So just so you know that. So here is the message from the Akashic Records for the year of 2011. Now, it was interesting, and just before I get into this, I would like to also share with you that I don't remember what the question was. I don't even know if there was a question, other than I was trying to gain clarity of just who I was or where I was or what was going on, or just a message for the world. And sometimes that's all that's needed, is the intention for service, for information to come forward through the Akashic Records. And otherwise, I can typically ask a question and I'll get my soul's information, and it's fine. But this particular message seemed to be one that was for me as well as all of humanity. And that's very clear, is what they wanted me to know, that this was for all of humanity. So, okay, so here's the message from the Akashic Records, Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones on January 2nd, 2011. There are many levels of consciousness on Earth, and it depends on what level you have chosen to incarnate to, and or what level you have worked or are working on to elevate. Love of all is the ultimate peace. It is where the God energy resides. The various levels of consciousness filter out the experience of love. It is up to you to expand your heart, awareness, willingness to receive and give, that expands your capacity to love, which opens you to gratitude, joy, and peace. God is love, only love. It is humans that have put up the rules of religion as barriers to God love. God love has no need to control, for love allows, it flows. It is the energy that surrounds everything. When you open to love, true gratitude comes easily, and vice versa. Gratitude is not a surface thank you or an automatic response. It is a heartfelt appreciation that humbles, uplifts, and is awe-inspiring. The humbleness allows your feeling of joy to bring you to your knees in awe and joy. Being on this earth is a gift. We chose our gift, and it was granted by love. Our commitment is to hold love in our hearts, offer it in all that we do, and anchor it everywhere we go. A commitment is not a quote-unquote job or a purpose. No, only love is our spiritual commitment to ourselves, humanity, and to God. 2011 is a pivotal time when love can prevail. I'm going to say that again. I want you to listen very closely. 2011 is a pivotal time when love can prevail. Love changes everything. Love is the gratitude, the faith, the knowing that moves us closer to our divine internal centers and unites us with other light beings. The vision I was shown, and the vision I see, is humanity all locking arms and walking together. The horizon awaits as we all move from our own level of darkness into the light. Our commitment is to hold, send, and surround love to all we interact with or whoever touches our lives. 2011 is a year of a commitment of profound love for all. Here are some homework assignments, I guess you would call it. The masters, teachers, and loved ones would like you to consider defining what love of all means to you. So you may want to journal on that. Consider defining what love of all means to you. Consider if there are any hesitations. And just notice them. Be aware of them. And then you can make some choices around whether or not you want to neutralize them. Consider what love of self means to you and what actions you would like to bring forward to anchor it within yourself. This is not a time of blame or shame. This is a time of shift. Shifting awareness to service of self and others, and understanding what that means. Integrating a clear picture within your heart and mind of what feels good, loving, and peaceful to move forward, onward to an environment of love. What does that look like to you? What is your willing commitment to create and maintain it? Notice that's a very important question. What is your willing commitment to create and maintain it? At the beginning of your day, the masters, teachers, and loved ones would like you to contemplate the days ahead of you with joy for this year. So at the beginning of every day, contemplate areas where you can send or be love. But before you leave your house, set your intention for the areas where you can send or be love, where you can anchor in that love, where you can stand for love, where you can wave the banner, if you will, of a loving presence. And at the end of your day, consider looking for the joy. Look for, at the end of your day, you consider looking for the joy, for the love, and your blessings to be grateful for. And then move into sleep in peace as you prepare for a new day. The question comes up is, what is it to give love? What if it is not returned? Then the feeling is of remorse or frustration. The masters, teachers, and loved ones would like you to consider that to be love and not worry if it is returned. In other words, no expectation of return. Being love holds no expectation. It just is. No tit for tat, no keeping score, or if you love me, you would. Loving unconditionally means no expectation of return. It just is. Forgiveness. This is their information they want you to listen to around forgiveness. Forgiveness begins when peace becomes more important than pain, and the realization that you cannot change the past. You must move forward. Holding on to the pain caused by others or yourself is a futile exercise. You surrender to receive the blessings of the day, of today. The past, and this is a very important piece, you need, please listen again. The past cannot hold on to you unless you carry it. The past cannot hold on to you unless you carry it. We create our own burdens. 2011 is the year to finally put down your bag of burdens and leave it at the side of the road. Travel light, my friends. The masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records, as brought forward by Donna Fox. January 2nd, 2011. Now, for those of you who are out there and would like to talk about this, you can call in tonight at 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515, 530-413-4520 or 415 287-0074. So the messages that come forward from the Akashic Record are ones that we use to expand our day. We use to expand our own knowing. And we use to allow us to open our hearts to the freedom of who we are. And so it was very interesting because all of a sudden this information started coming forward after I had my records open. And sometimes that happens, that information just needs to be shared. And so it's very important for us to look at this year. We have a great start now. 2011 is a pivotal year. It is a time that we can shift and change the energy of the planet, where we can actually give to Mother Earth the love that she needs. We can anchor the love from our hearts. And I don't think I have to say this, but it's coming forward for me to say, we're not talking about sappy love here. We're not talking about goo-goo love. We're not talking about kissy-kissy, sweet-sweet. No, no. The love we're talking about is divine love. It's unconditional love. It's about acceptance. It's about non-judgment. It's about knowing that everyone that we see that we may not like carries a part of ourselves in them. that we are looking at that we don't like. There's a wonderful statement that I love. It's, what is there about you that I don't like about me? And so it's about releasing the judgment, releasing the idea that we, quote-unquote, know best. The only one we know best for is ourselves. We cannot know best for someone else. As parents, we have a responsibility to raise our children and keep them safe and teach them how to keep themselves safe. Once they reach a certain age, they have to learn on their own, and we have to allow it, as painful as that may be for us. And so there comes a time where you really need to understand that it's your game. It's nobody else's game but yours. And the more you carry around other people from the past, the more they pile on your back and you can't move. So it's time to unload them all. It puts me in mind of the commercial about the Verizon, or not the Verizon, the T-Mobile 4G or something, and AT&T has got this large person on their back, and they can't move. We don't have to be that. We can drop our burdens at the side of the road and move forward. If you can't get something that happened out of your mind from the past, then get help. Call a friend. Journal it out. But don't allow that to control you any longer. You're better than that. You're much better than that. If you feel there's someone up around within your environment that's limiting you, then get the truth of that. Hello, we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, how are you doing, Donna?
I'm good.
Hi, how are you?
Doing?
Good. I thought your show this evening was really good, but I'm having trouble with some of those things, you know?
Well, good. I'm glad you called.
Yeah. I want to be where you're talking about, in that kind of a space,
okay,
but don't really know how to get there.
Could I have your name, please, your first name?
Jim.
Okay. And where are you calling from, Jim?
Ohio.
Oh, okay. Have we talked before?
Yeah, I've called in before.
Okay, great. Okay, good. All right. All right, Jim. So tell me what you're having a hard time with.
Well, you know, like you say, let go of judgments. Don't keep score.
Right.
You know, and, you know, unconditional love. Okay, yeah, I mean, I'm all for that. The thing is doing it. You know, getting
sure
to that space where you can actually be there. Okay, and my thing is, well, I've had problems with all those things. You know, like, I can say mentally, hey, I want to forgive everybody that's done me wrong or whatever in my life, but it doesn't seem to happen. There's something that's still holding on. You know, and then the thing is, living my life versus letting somebody else tell me what to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying?
Well,
let's just go back. Let's go back for a second, where you're saying about it's hard to forgive other people for past events or past wrongdoings.
Right.
You're having a hard time with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can say it mentally, and I. In my heart, I feel like, yeah, I'm forgiving them. But guess what? Next day, it's right back. It's, you know, it's not really forgiven. I know nothing's changed in my life. You know what I'm saying? There's no proof that I've really stopped, you know, holding them accountable in my mind. You know, like if my parents did, I think my parents did me wrong and all the things they did.
Yep.
Really letting that go. You know
what is
saying?
How is it serving
and
you
I mean,
to keep it?
It isn't. I know it isn't. And I mean, I know they did the best that they could with what they knew. And, you know, back 40, 50 years ago, they didn't really know that much. Nobody did, pretty much, except for the enlightened people. You know, so it hasn't been till, you know, the last several decades that, you know, people have really started figuring some of the stuff out. But I'm still, what I'm saying is probably my subconscious beliefs or something are still holding me back. And so I can't really live my life, in a sense, into what I want to do. I'm you know, doing what other people want me to do and kind of playing it small and stuff like that, you know.
But the reality is you have free will to change, correct?
Well, I mean, I read that in the Bible. Yeah, God gives you free will. Well, you don't really have. I don't have free will. I don't think I have free will because if these subconscious beliefs are holding me into these stupid patterns, where's the free will in that?
However, the person that needs to be forgiven is not your parents. The person that needs to be forgiven, Jim, is you.
Well, I agree with that, too.
You have to let yourself off the hook. And so the reality is that you have to understand that the more you play victim, the more victim you will be.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think that I am a victim.
What would have to happen in your mind, if you could just make it up, what would have to happen in order for you not to feel that way anymore?
Well, I mean, one of the things is I need to know what my purpose or passion or to be here on the planet, and then to have my own business.
How would that change your feeling of anger for your parents?
Well, I mean, if I would know what my purpose and passion was, and I was doing it, and I really enjoyed that, right? I wouldn't even be thinking about my parents or what happened 30, 40, 50 years ago. Do you know what I'm saying?
And yes, I do. So in your life right now, what do you enjoy? What can you envision yourself enjoying?
Well, that's the thing. There's really nothing that sticks out and says, "Hey, this is what I should be doing." Do you know what I'm saying?
You know,
you have to eliminate the word should.
Please eliminate the word should and replace the word should to want.
Uh-huh.
So if there was something you wanted to do, what would it be that you would want to do? This is not about, see, you're looking for someone to give you a guarantee. And the guarantee is, I promise you, Jim, that you will be unconditionally happy when you do this thing. And so you're looking for a guarantee, and the only guarantee you have is that if I maintain my beliefs the way they are now, I will be miserable, and that is guaranteed, because you're safe.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've already experienced that for quite a while, so I already know that.
Right, but what's being said here is that you're looking for a guarantee of happiness.
I'm looking for a significant improvement in the quality of my life. That's, you know.
So the question
is, instead of being stuck in a rut, start moving out of that rut and moving on. Do you know what I'm saying?
What would have to happen for you to move out of the rut?
I mean, like I said, I think that would be one of the first things is to know what my purpose and passion is, and then pursue it as a business and become successful.
But you're looking for somebody else to tell you that. You want someone else to tell you that.
Right, because I don't really know what it is. I don't know how to really figure it out. I don't have anything you know, you ask me, well, what do you want to do? I can't really tell you. What I've done, listen, everything in the past is, basically BS. Okay? And I'm 55.
What are you curious about?
Well, I mean, I'm interested in holistic health. I'm interested in spiritual, you know, and enlightenment and all this stuff. And I would like to bring that kind of stuff out. But so far, even though I've studied those things for quite a while, nothing really major has happened. And not even really that much minor either. So, I mean, I can't say, hey, I'm at a sufficient enough level that I could become a teacher of those things. Do you know what I'm saying? If I had that ability right now, I would go, I'd be out there probably doing that. But I'm not at that competence level for those kind of things. But my interest tends to be in that area.
And so have you ever considered actually going back to school to become like a chiropractor or a natural, naturopath?
Yeah, I've thought about like that, naturopathic doctor or something like that. Yeah, I have.
What stops you?
I haven't done it, but I've thought about it.
What stops you?
I don't know. I mean, I'm doing what I'm doing now and finding free time and the money to be able to do it. You know what I'm saying?
It's, how many it's hours not always do you work
easy
a day?
For me to, well, I mean, I put in a regular 40-hour week.
Okay.
You know.
And what else do you do?
Well, I mean, like I said, I do research on the internet and in health and things like that, and spiritual things, and read books and things like that. Try this program, try that, whatever, and see what happens.
But what has stopped you from going back to school to be a naturopath?
Well, like I said, it's probably mostly time and money.
Okay, so let me run this down for you. In 1 week, if you multiply 24 hours times 7, it comes up with 168 hours. If you
right.
take 40 hours of work, let's just even make it 50 hours because you have travel time. So that leaves 118 hours. Then you put another 8 hours in there, eight times seven, okay? And that would be, what, 48? That's sleeping time. So that is a zero. And then, so that leaves, you know, 70 hours left for you to do whatever it is you want to do. Now, 70 hours divided by seven is 10 hours a day. Somewhere in that 70 hours, even if you were just to take half of that 70 hours, is 35 hours. And if you were to take 35 hours and look into becoming a naturopath or something that you're curious about, even if it was an online course, the reality is it's not about time, Jim. And quite frankly, it's not about money either. Because if, in fact, you wanted to go back and do something, the reality is you're afraid to fail. It's got nothing to do with time, and it has nothing to do with dollars.
I'm afraid to fail.
Because there are grants that you can do. There are ways for you to, online you can take one course at a time if you wanted. The reality is it's about being afraid of failing and being wrong. And what the master's teachers and loved ones are saying is it's about getting curious enough to ignite your passion. Because right now, what you're doing is you're allowing those authority figures to run your life rather than you running your life because you're afraid of failing. So you need to decide, who do you want to answer to, yourself or your mother?
Wait, what was that again?
What just came forward is, who do you want to answer to, yourself or your mother? I don't know if that means anything to you, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, as a child, I answered to my mother all the time.
Say again?
Right. As a child, I answered to my mother all the time.
Well, is she still here?
Well, yeah, she's still on Earth.
Do you still answer to her?
Not really.
So who's running your life?
I mean, right now, I'm almost divorced a second time. And, of course, she does not like divorce, but I kind of went along. It was my wife's idea to get it, and I went along with it because she wasn't happy, instead of trying to keep the marriage and stuff, you know? So, I mean...
Why wasn't she happy?
Mostly because of money, you know?
She wanted more money?
She wanted the good things in life, and it cost a lot of money, and I'm not making as much as I should, and da-da-da-da, or as she wants.
And did she really think that she was going to get more money by divorcing you?
No. But, I mean, she's really not going to be getting any extra money.
But the reality is that, no, here's the deal, is that there, it's never just one thing when people divorce. There's got to be more to it than you weren't making enough money.
Well, I'm not saying that
you
was
want to
all.
Look at.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
I think the love relationship went downhill pretty bad, but I think the money thing was like the clincher that broke the camel's back, you know? So.
But you had said earlier when you first called in, that you were living by doing what everybody else wanted, and you're not doing what you want. That's what you first said when you first got on the phone. I cannot be non-judgmental, and I don't know how to love myself because I'm living by everybody else, but it's telling me what to do. And the question is, who are the other people that are telling you what to do?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is, to me, if I was listening to me and doing what I wanted to do, I would know my passion and purpose, and I'd be doing it.
So therefore, you're a failure because you don't know that. Is that right?
Well, I mean, it's kind of probably my subconscious thinks that to some degree, and I mean that's why I'm consciously thinking it also.
It's your conscious that thinks it. Your subconscious is just fine. It's your conscious that thinks that.
The
conscious is what's beating you up.
My conscious is beating me up?
Yeah. Your conscious is telling you, you don't know what you want. This is not good enough. That's not good enough. You're a failure. Your conscious mind, not your subconscious.
Yeah, but I would think it's my subconscious because that's what's got the power. That's what's really running my life, right?
No. In other words, like your conscious mind right now is not letting your subconscious or your soul talk. Because your conscious mind is so afraid of failing. It's not about your subconscious. That's what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is you're operating under beliefs that you're holding from childhood that are in your conscious mind that and they keep, it's like they're on a record that as a like a tape that keeps on going over and over again. Because every time you do something, your conscious mind tells you why it's not going to work.
Okay.
Do you understand that? Does that make sense to you?
Well, it's different than what I kind of perceived, but I could be wrong.
But
that's
I'm saying
why
you have a conversation with your conscious mind. You're not having a conversation with your subconscious, correct?
Well, yeah, I don't know what's all my subconscious mind. I mean, I think I know, like, one of them is like, hey, I'm bad or selfish or not good enough or not worthy, something like that.
Is that true?
Well, I mean, that's what I believe.
Why?
And, I mean, the results that I've gotten in my life kind of prove it out.
Why?
Well, I mean, like I said, it was a second divorce, right?
Okay.
If the selfish thing, well, initially I give quite a bit to the, you know, spouse. But then over a period of time, I start holding back more. And to me, that's kind of like being selfish, and then the relationship ends.
But why do you do that?
I don't know. I'm not sure why. I wish
you're
I did know.
What you want. One of the reasons that you start holding back is because you're not getting what you want. You don't know how to ask. And even when you ask, you still don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the two relationships that I had, I was not getting what I wanted. And they were really not interested in what I wanted. You know, intimacy-wise.
Were you interested in what they wanted?
No, I don't think it was a good match. I don't.
Okay,
you know,
so
looking
so
back.
Just wait a minute. Before you start beating yourself up, why not take a look at these two relationships and realize that you learned a great deal from them? You learned what you don't want.
Right.
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 So I'm not saying they weren't painful and the breakup wasn't uncomfortable. What's being said here is that rather than looking at yourself and beating yourself up, look at the turn your attitude around and say, well, I now know what I don't want, so I won't get hung up on that again. As soon as I see those red flags or that similarity in the next person I date, I know to turn around and walk away. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So they're valuable to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you could look at it that way, correct?
Right. I agree.
Okay. All right. So the idea here is that if in fact you said that you wanted to look into naturopathy, but you haven't done it yet, and you said it because it was time and money, and what came forward from the records that it's not about time and it's probably not about money, it's really more about your fear of failure.
Okay.
And being wrong, and so what's being said is that notice that. This is what I'm hearing, because I don't know you, okay? What I'm hearing is the things that you have tried up to this point that seemed interesting, please don't take this the wrong way. This is not meant to be critical in any way, shape, or form. It really, what they want you to do is look at a pattern. And what they're suggesting is that every time you got into something that might seem that it took a little work, or that that there was some perseverance. It wasn't like an instant gratification. If it wasn't instant gratification, then you started doubting it. And as soon as you started doubting it, you started as soon as you have that doubting energy, it creates more doubt, and it kind of is a self-fulfilling prophecy. And
okay.
So what they're suggesting is that what you try, that you look at from a point of curiosity to see what more you can be curious about in your efforts.
What I can get curious about?
Yeah.
Doing the naturopathic online course or something. Just come from a place of curiosity.
Absolutely.
Is
not from a place of I've got to do great in this, and I want to get a degree, But this interests me. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
See, the idea of curiosity is what's going to carry you, because if you allow your curiosity to move you forward without judgment, but to allow yourself to be motivated by curiosity, your curiosity will then lead you to something else, and before you know it, you may have enough credits to graduate. But the curiosity is what's going to carry you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like when I was in school and taking math, I was very curious about it. I was tended to be good at it and got excited about it, enthusiastic, and then did well in it.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, I got an example of that in my life. Doesn't
good.
Mean that I
then you know how that feels.
Pursue that or anything. Huh?
But you know how that feels.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
I've experienced
so take,
it before.
Okay, so take that feeling of curiosity and feeling good about something, and then now that you know what that feels like, start comparing it with your curiosity to the naturopathy. Or why am I hearing Chinese medicine? What does Chinese medicine have to do with you?
I don't know. I mean, I have not studied that or whatever, but I mean, I know, like the Sunrider Corporation, and they have Chinese herbs and so forth. They're good, supposedly. I've taken them, but I haven't really received any benefit. I really need to go to a naturopathic doctor and work with them and see if I can find a good one and see if they can get me some good results. I think that would help with my interest. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So what are you talking about from a health point of view?
Yeah, right. Improve health, energy, fitness, the whole nine yards, you know.
Okay. And so why not choose a school that's online, and maybe they could direct you to a naturopath that went to that school that's in the area?
Wow. Okay.
You see what I mean? See the piece here is that what's so important here for you is finding your passion is more about finding your curiosity, because the curiosity will bring you to that passion and the joy, just like it did with math. I mean, you
okay.
could even take a quantum physics class and probably love it.
Yeah, I've studied the law of attraction and all that, and I mean it makes
right.
sense logically and all that, and I try to do it as best I can, but yeah, I still haven't seen any difference. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but try this. The next time you want to bring something to you, imagine it the same way you did the math. Of how good the math felt and how fun it was.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Notice that that's the feeling they're talking about. The idea is if you can couple a feeling of good, a feeling that feels good. The whole idea of the law of attraction has to do with vibration.
Right.
And so it's really about shifting your vibration. But you have to have like a barometer for it. But if you don't have a barometer for feeling good about love, let's say, or feeling good about receiving, then it's real hard to to implement the law of attraction.
Okay.
Because every time you want to try and feel good about something, your little monkey mind comes around and tells you why it's not going to work. Which then
right, which
puts
is,
you at odds with the universal law. So what's being said here is, I'm sorry?
Which is what's happening to me, right?
Right. So what they're suggesting here is that if you want to manifest something, start out small. Manifest the parking space. and move into the same feeling about that parking space as you had when you figured out a math problem.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that the thing is you got to look, use the barometer. You use what the words like, because you know what that feeling feels like. Use that feeling as your barometer to what it would feel like to receive that parking space, and then move on to a cup of coffee, a free cup of coffee, or whatever it is you want.
Okay.
See, the reality here is, and they'll say, well, it's just as easy to manifest $1 million as it is a parking space. But the reality is our monkey minds don't see it that way.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying it's not the subconscious.
Not in your case.
It's not the subconscious that I should be thinking. It's all in the conscious mind, for me at least.
Yeah, because you have to start talking to yourself, because when those negative thoughts come, you have to talk them down with the truth. It's about creating a new groove. So every time you hear some negative self-talk, you have to be ready with something that is that really helps you. I'm trying to get the right word. Wait a minute. That is a comeback so that you can neutralize the negative self-talk. The negative self-talk is conscious.
Right.
And so there needs to be something. So if you want to try something and your negative self-talk tells you you're crazy or you'll never work or what's wrong with you or you're not good enough to get that, you need to imagine that negative self-talk in some kind of way that makes you feel powerful. So for example, just for fun, why not imagine that negative self-talk like a balloon that you punch with a pin that takes all the air out of it. So the idea is that, you know, it comes chattering at you and you say, not today, Charlie, boom, and you've got a needle right there in the middle of your fist, and you just give it a good punch and pop it. And notice the shift that happens in your body when it's gone. And even if another one comes up, you can keep on punching it, because you know what? You're more powerful with your fist and the needle than any of those balloons that is full of hot air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Notice how your body's feeling now. Say again?
Yeah, just keep doing that then. As they come up, just keep popping them.
Popping them. Notice how your body's feeling right now.
Mm-hmm. Better. Yeah. I feel a lot better.
Yeah. And so the idea is anytime, so what your assignment is for you to look at what you're curious about and move into your curiosity that will actually help build your creativity. Because you've got the creativity and you've got the curiosity. You just have like a curtain over it. Pull the curtain back. And if there's a bunch of balloons there, just start popping them.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a kind of a fun exercise. You could even put faces on the balloons if you felt like it.
Yeah. That would be good.
Yeah. Because the reality is no one has the right to control you, Jim, but you.
Right.
You truly are in the driver's seat. And you're too precious not to drive your own bus.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You're smart enough to load that bus or that van with everything you want. And nobody tells you what to put in that van but you.
Hmm. Right.
So tomorrow morning when you wake up and get ready for work and those balloons start showing up, just punch them out. And
okay.
Decide what you want to do with the day. Huh?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
It sounds really good.
Good. I hope it was helpful.
It was very good. I appreciate it very much, Donna.
Well, you're welcome, Jim. You're welcome.
All righty.
You know, keep in touch. I really care about how this works out for you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Have a good
night,
Donna.
All right. Well, Happy New Year to you. All right.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for calling.
You.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So I hope you guys all, you know, that was a wonderful call. You know, Jim put his heart on the line there. And every one of you out there is a little bit of Jim. Every one of us has those balloons that we need to pop. Every one of us has old memories. And for some, the burdens are like rocks. For others, they're just a bunch of balloons. And so whether you're unloading the burdens from rocks from your bag or you're punching those balloons and making them pop, you can be as powerful as you allow yourself to be. The only way you can take your power back is by taking your power back. And sometimes we're not even sure who we're taking the power back from. And you know what? It doesn't matter. All it means is that we exercise our own power. And that's what's important. So it's really about you deciding what is your year going to look like? And what are you willing to do to move forward? Now, before we close, I was watching the Oprah Network the other day, and with my records open, I love to watch with my records open, and I have something else I want to share with you. So I was watching Jay-Z he's a rapper. Now, I know about as much about rapping as car mechanics. It tells you what, not very much. I'm going to tell you about my car in a minute. But what I got from watching that program with my records up, and first of all, he's a very inspiring young man. But the first thing that came forward is the work you put in is what you get out. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the work you put into creating your dream, that you have to work, you know, it's not necessarily equal, but what's important for you is to really understand what is your intention in moving forward and what emotional, spiritual, and physical actions are you willing to commit to for your dream? And then the next question that came forward as I'm watching this is, what is your intention? So what is your intention for your life? Not what is your purpose. What's your intention? What's going to make you feel fulfilled? And if you don't know, try a bunch of things until you love it, until you find something you love. And notice that everything that you, once you try something, and if it doesn't, it gets you closer to what you will love. But what's most important is the next question. And I really want you to write this one down. The question is, what is within you that needs to come out, that needs to be expressed? What is within you that needs to come out, that needs to be expressed? Real important question. And so you know what? We're almost done with time. I'm going to tell you what happened with my car. I have more questions, so you'll have to tune in for next week to get these questions. I'm going to make a mark of where we ended, okay? And you have to tune in next week, and we'll give you some more questions to journal with. If you'd like a copy of the message from the Akashic Records for 2011, please email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. You can also call me personally. At my personal number is 216-691-1233. So what happened with my car? Nothing. The interesting thing about it is there was no damage. I even found my garage door opener. The only damage was the, like I told you I think last week, was the visor. And what I have received is it was less about me and more about the folks that stole it. It's almost like I created the crime of opportunity because whatever they needed was their lesson. But what's also important for me to understand is that whatever the universe takes from me, they will bring back. And it's up to me to be grateful about that lesson. So I really want you to know that. We were going to talk about miracles tonight, but I would love to talk about miracles next week. So if there's a miracle you would like to share, if anybody out there would like to email me about a miracle, you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. We really want to say a big thank you to Jim. And I want you all to realize that within every week, we have 168 hours. That's what the week is. If we're going to go by time, it's 168 hours. And it's up to you how you spend them. And it's up to me, too. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm learning every day, too. Well, I've also come to the conclusion that I really love it here. I really love it on Earth. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad I'm here. And you know what? I'm so glad you're listening, too. So, it's now 11:57 in Cleveland, and it's time to say goodnight. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that all those listening, may your hearts be opened, your burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And remember, love is all there is. And the closer we can get to loving ourselves, the closer we'll get to loving each other. Have a wonderful, miracle-filled week. I will see you next week, same time, same station, here at bbsradio.com, station 2. Love you all. The records for the Akashic Wisdom Internet BBS Radio Show Radio. On January 2nd, 2011 are now closed. Amen. Bye.